try to.
This is the Lira Unbalanced.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6.
Episode 3, Space. Greetings, brave and noble listeners from AboveTopSecret.com. Tonight will surely be our finest episode yet, as we explore the boundary that numbed Newton, haunted Hawking, and excited Einstein, a fraction that has been explored all the way to 10 to the negative 35th power of a second from the beginning of the universe itself. We've brought you to the furthest regions of our solar system, to the furthest regions of life and death. Now we bring you to the furthest regions of the dimensions themselves. Time, the great equalizer, the destroyer of worlds, the eater of souls. In our first episode, we interviewed a former planet. In our second episode, we interviewed a ghost hunter. In this episode, we interview Father Time himself. We'll explain what time being relative really means, and we'll hear a theoretical experiment on time travel. All this and more from the Libra Unbalanced, only on AboveTopSecret.com. That was Doctor in the TARDIS by the Time Lords, also known as the KLF. For my few listeners who aren't Doctor Who fans, the Doctor is a Time Lord who travels around in a broken time machine called a TARDIS, short for Time and Relative Dimensions in Space. And they really could not have picked a more appropriate name. The thing about time is, we experience it constantly. Our lives are planned around it, our lifespans are measured by it. Time tells us when to eat, when to sleep, when to wake up, when to go to work, when to stop working, when we need to be where we're going. And yet the entire thing is an illusion. Upon closer examination, time unravels at the seams. The general idea most people have is that there's some sort of universal pulse of time, that 1 second to a guy in Brazil is the same as a second to a woman in Antarctica. That's the idea. If everyone's watch suddenly stopped working in the entire world, that we might have some sort of standard time that exists in nature that would allow everyone to get back on the same page. But it's false. Not only is there no natural universal standard of time, but people don't even move through time at the same rate as one another. You've all heard the same tired cliché, right? Time is relative?
Put your hand on a hot stove for a minute, and it seems like an hour. Sit with a pretty girl for an hour, and it seems like a minute. That's relativity.
Well, here's the thing. It's not a joke. It's not even an exaggerated figure of speech. Over and over, experiments have repeatedly proven that the faster someone travels, the slower time moves around them. And not just for them, for everything around them that they observe, their brains, their cell growth, their watch. Everything moves more slowly through time. But why? Why is time relative? To answer this, we'll need to examine distance, which, incidentally, is also relative. Let's imagine that we've got a moving train, which is appropriate, seeing as how the whole concept of standard time was developed by the railroads. Before then, every town simply measured noon by where the sun was overhead, and set their watches and clocks accordingly. Anyway, on this train you have a leisure car made entirely of glass, and within it, two gentlemen decide to play a game of ping pong. The single most interesting game of ping pong in the entire universe. And as they play, one observes to the other.
That ball just traveled 2 meters before you hit it.
At the same moment, the train is crossing over a residential street, where a bored driver sits at the train stop, waiting for the train to pass, and watches the two men playing ping pong. He turns to his wife and says,
Oi, wife, did you see that then? That ping pong ball just traveled 10 meters.
Unseen by all, the entire exchange is watched via a spy satellite that is not in geosynchronous orbit. Taking the rotation of the Earth into effect, it reports back to the base that it has just tracked a ping pong ball traveling a little over a quarter of a mile before the other player hit it. As far out as the Oort cloud, before their invasion, the aliens watch this exchange between the ping pong players, and, taking Earth's revolution around the sun into effect, determine that the ping pong ball had traveled, in fact, 20 miles. Their home planet, in the Hydra constellation, however, observes the ball moving nearly 23,000 miles per hour as our galaxy races towards theirs. Through it all, God watches the scene and takes a constant expansion of the universe into account. It determines that the ball has actually moved about 230 million light years. Here's the thing. All of them are correct. None of them are wrong. Because distance is relative. There is no universal point of rest. So is anything in the universe constant? The speed of light is. And here's the crazy thing. The speed of light is so constant that it measures the same speed whether you're moving perpendicular to it or towards it. The speed of light in a vacuum is always the same. Which means, since the speed of light is a function of distance divided by time, and the speed is always a constant, and distance is always relative, time must be relative as well. We might never fully understand all the properties of time, but to help us, I've invited a very special guest to join us in our studio, Father Time himself. He's a married man to Mother Nature and father to Baby New Year. He performs a very difficult and busy job in the field of time management, plus he's moonlighting as a support character in various TV and movie productions, such as The Smurfs. And today, he's here to give us some answers. Father Time, thank you for joining our show. I know you must be very busy at the moment. I wanted to ask you about some recent allegations that you've developed a heavy dependence on speed. In fact, the more speed you're involved in, the slower your work.
What do you think I should be doing? You know, I'm thousands of years old. I'm going off and they're splitting me off into 1,000 different directions with 1,000 different speeds. I get no downtime, no rest time. Excuse me. Zeus, I have to call you back. Speeds at once, things your mind can't even comprehend. What do you think?
I see. And about this speed, how much would you say you've done?
Oh, I tend to stop at around 300 million meters per second.
That's the speed of light. Why is that?
I don't know. It's something I do. It's with relativistic math, increasing into infinity, and I've always been kind of partial to math. But the truth is, I'm an old, old man.
No, you're not that old.
Do you see this hair? Do you see this long beard down to my feet? You see this warm wheat farmer's robe and scythe? Do I really look like someone who's figured out the answers to all temporal physics?
But your father, Time, it's kind of in your job description. I would think you, of all people, would know.
For Christ's sakes, you're the ones with the supercomputers and the internets and the Wikipedias. I'm Father Time. You know what I have to work with?
What's that?
An hourglass. Guy before me, sundial. Guy before him, Stonehenge. Try lugging that one around.
Wait, so how do you think this bodes for your future?
Probably gonna get outsourced. Maybe to, India, China. China, they're graduating the most science degrees right now per year, so it'll probably be one of them. Here's your gold watch going down the road. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry. So, out of curiosity, what exactly is it that you do?
I ad-lib. I mean, really, I ad-lib. What else are you going to do? You just kind of make up as you go.
Well, is that what you've always done? I mean, what was it like in the old days?
Oh boy. Back in my day, it was linear. Nowadays, you've got string theory, M theory, DIR theory, D theory, P theory, I don't know, theory, God knows what else. I'm not even a unique entity anymore. Just another 11 dimensions and having to share a room with gravity.
Gravity?
Talk about a downer. I'm Father Time. Father Time. I couldn't even get a cool nickname. Well, Zeus. Here is Paolo. Father Time.
Yeah, what would you have rather been called?
Dynamo Man. Cool guy with power of time much. I don't know. But Father Time, for goodness sakes. Please. You have another question?
Sure. I can see you're not a fan of the name or gravity, for that matter, but how do you... Einstein, Hawking, and some of the other famous temporal physicists, how do you feel about them?
Oh, wonderful physicists. Great! Love those guys, especially since their papers and their books, they're mine. I wrote the book. I wrote the manual. Where do you think they came from? They didn't pull them out of the air. I mean, really... Yeah, I should say that I probably should have gone with Project Greenberg, but I didn't, and it figures.
You mean Project Gutenberg? Greenberg.
That was a good one too, but mainly that one, actually. Now that you point that out, you're very funny, aren't you?
I'll go ahead and let you go after this. What parting advice would you give to our listeners?
Don't get too attached with your work. You're already obsolete. See you next time.
Yeah.
was Wood, Wind, and Skin from the Resonance album Organic Dance Didgeridoo, composed by Jeremy Cloak. Now, so far we've learned that time is relative to speed. The faster you go, the slower time moves forward. And in theory, at the speed of light, time stops. But what does that truly mean to you as a human being? If I say time slows down as you approach the speed of light, what does this mean to you? To answer this question, we must perform an experiment. Now, in the words of Newton,
"If I have seen further, it is by standing on ye shoulders of giants."
On radio station WNYC in New York, played on NPR, there's a show called Radio Lab, now well into its fourth season, where Robert Krulwich and Jad Abumrad explain the most fringe elements of science. In season one, an episode called Time blew my mind when I heard this theoretical experiment performed with the mathematical assistance of physicist Dr. Brian Greene, author of The Elegant Universe.
If you had a Rolex and I had a Rolex, say, and we synchronize them perfectly, then we move relative to one another and then we rejoin and compare our watches, they will not agree.
Well, to demonstrate what Brian was talking about, we are now in Central Park. We've got the area entirely roped off because we are going to demonstrate one of Einstein's famous thought experiments.
All right.
Which suggests that the subject, and if you will, I would be the subject, Chad.
By all means.
The subject must take a trip at an extraordinarily high speed. That's required here. So if you can help me by giving me whatever you've got over there.
Sure. Here is a jetpack, turbocharged jetpack. Put it on.
Back. Yeah.
Okay. Now take these rollerblades.
Oh, okay.
Now put one right, on your right foot.
Right foot and...
on your left.
On the left, right?
Set the target speed dial on your jetpack to 669 million miles an hour.
That's a little fast. Well. 669 million miles an hour.
All right. Okay. What time does your watch say?
524.
Yeah, so does mine. We're synchronized.
Exactly now, synchronized. Okay.
When it gets to 525 in 3, 2, 1, push the red button.
Hitting the red button and...
This is very fast! I have left the planet Earth and I see a galaxy going by on this side. I see another one coming up over there. Boom! Another galaxy going by there. Now, by the way, my watch is absolutely quite perfectly. I'm having a lovely time. I'm coming around now. I'm coming around the back end. Coming in now. Coming closer and landed. That was very bracing.
Now, Robert.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look at your watch.
All right.
What time does it say?
It says 5:26. What time is it on your watch?
5:33.
That's a 7-minute difference. Is your watch broken? Because my
No.
Well.
Time for you is different than time for me.
You mean literally?
Literally. It's not that my watch somehow was shooken up and wasn't functioning properly. No. Time itself is not some universal concept. Time is held by the individual, by the observer, so that if I am moving relative to you, time for me elapses at a different rate than it does for you.
So relativity says that time and speed are mysteriously coupled, so that when I go fast, my time goes slow.
Which explains why our watches don't agree.
Exactly.
So this whole notion that we all have, that time kind of applies the same to everybody on Earth and Mars, Jupiter, the entire cosmos that we can see, is totally wrong.
Let me just stress how incredibly cool this show is. Every single episode of Radiolab is this fascinating, and you can download them at radiolab.org in MP3 form. They didn't pay me to say that. I don't get anything from this endorsement. I just really think the show is that great. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank the KLF for Doctor in the TARDIS. Hear more of them at klf-communications.org. Thank you to Jeremy Cloak for Wood, Wind, and Skin. Hear more of his work at resonance.co.nz. Thank you to Radiolab for your time experiment. You can hear more of them at radiolab.org.
You're currently listening to Just Think of Tomorrow by Mari Sasaki. If you would like to contribute material to the Libra Unbalanced in the form of commentary, science experiments, expertise, interviews, or music, you can email us at thelibraunbalanced@gmail.com. If you're already a member of AboveTopSecret.com and enjoyed this program, please remember to flag and star it. And if you're not already a member, maybe it's time to ask yourself why not. Thank you for listening. I'm the Libra, and the Libra Unbalanced is brought to you by
Infinite Monkeys.
Yeah!